Welcome to the August 13th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled, Complaining About the Food. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
And it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning and to see all of you here. It's very nice. I hope everyone is a little extra refreshed and feeling good after not only a little rain yesterday, but some cool temperatures that were much needed for all of us. And from the sound and the sights and all the smiles, it looks like people are re-energized. And it's a joy to stand up here and be able to see that. That's one of the blessings we have from the pulpit, to be able to see everyone's faces and from the children to all ages. And it's a great thing. I enjoy every Sunday morning. I'd like to, as we enter a time of announcements, draw attention to the pew pads. And I know many have done a great job of filling out the pew pads every week. Just want to say, if you wouldn't mind just taking a brief minute during this time, the pew pad should be located on the inside of each of the rows. If you would fill out the pew pad, we'd like to have a record of your attendance and pass that to your neighbor and leave that at the end of the row. We would appreciate it. A few words about some events this week. First, today, we will have the life service at 7 o'clock tonight. And would like to see all of you here. It's going to be a great time. Tonight, we're going to hear from our Mountain Outreach team, who's going to report on the activities from Kentucky and the successful mission trip that our church had up there, where we sent about 120 people up there to build a house in a week. And it just went so well. And many of you have seen some pictures on the internet of their activity and their work up there. And many of you have seen pictures of the finished product. But we want you to come tonight to hear about the experience and hear about the way that our church was able to reach out to this family and to do some great things in Kentucky. So the life service is 7 o'clock tonight, and we look forward to seeing you all here. On Wednesday night, we will continue with our 12 Extraordinary Women of the Bible study. It will begin at 6:30. It is a bring-your-own-bag supper, and we will have a prayer time as well as the Bible study time, and look forward to seeing you here for that. This week, it's going to be my pleasure to be with a group of our senior adults at Fort Caswell at the beach. We're leaving tomorrow morning to go down for a five-day retreat, coming back on Friday. And we've got a pretty big group, the biggest group we've ever taken to Caswell, leaving to go tomorrow. And I'm very excited about it. So think about us. It's going to be a great time of fellowship and Bible study and worship for us as we try to re-energize ourselves down at Fort Caswell. And those of you who have been there before know what kind of place that is. One program note related to that, because we will be at Caswell this week, there will not be College Parkers during its regularly scheduled time on Thursday. College Parkers will be 1 week later. We're going to have it on Thursday, the 24th, at 11:30 in Smith Hall. And I would just like to take a minute while we're on the topic to say that for any of you who may be interested in College Parkers, we would love to have you join us. This is a group. Anyone who's over 55 is eligible to come. We eat well. We fellowship well. We travel well. This group has a lot of good trips that occur all during the year, from short afternoon trips to day trips or overnight retreats like we'll be going on this week. But this is just a great thing. And we have some great programs that our program committee puts together. As a couple of examples, last month we had a patriotic celebration, and we're able to recognize some of our veterans and experience some of what they had to share about their time in serving our country as patriots. And this month we're having a gospel quartet come that has been here with us before, and they always do a great job. So we really have some good programs and would love for any of you to join us. If you have any questions about College Parkers, you're welcome to ask me at any time or see Mary Jenkins or Bill Guest or anyone else who's a member of College Parkers. We would love to have you join us. As far as other program notes for the next couple of weeks, a newsletter will be coming out this week. And whether you view the newsletter online or receive it by mail at your home, pay attention to the newsletter and what that has in store. At this time, I'd like to recognize Raymond.
Just wanted to say a couple things about worship this morning. So when time comes, we'll know what's expected. The children, we have children's time this morning and want to invite them to come down during the last stanza of 226. We'll have actually a praise hymn medley that will be 227 stanza 1 and go straight into 226. And on the last stanza of that, if the children would come here, meet me here in the front for children's time. Also, if you'll note, following children's time, the choir will be presenting an anthem, The Majesty and Glory of Your Name. And you may recognize, you may have seen already if you've been reading, that the call to, or the invitation to share in worship is Psalm 8. And actually the text of The Majesty and Glory comes straight out of the Psalms. And I wanted to give you an opportunity, following that anthem, to express your praise and glory to the Father. So as the choir finishes their anthem, they'll be seated, and then we'll just have some moments of silent prayer. I'm not sure we've ever done that before, but it just seemed appropriate, and I want to give you that heads up so you'll know the opportunity that you will have. And following some moments of silent prayer, Jason will come then and lead us again in the ministry of God's Word. Thank you.
I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our visitors. We're glad to have you with us today and hope that you'll find this to be a warm and inviting place. It's good to have you here with us. At this time, our ushers are coming down, and we have some information that we would like to share with you about our church and what's going on in the life of our church. If you would, just slip up your hand just high enough that one of the ushers may see, so that they may hand you this information. Welcome to College Park. Thank you for being with us today and joining us in worship. As we enter a time of worship, I'd ask that you would stand and join me as we share together an invitation to share in worship. This is from Psalm 8, and if you will, please read responsively with me. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, praise.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?
You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Pray. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, we are a people gathered this morning in your name. We have come into this house of worship to find you. Lord, the rain and the cool temperatures of yesterday may have energized our bodies, but we need more than that. Our hearts and our spirits need the kind of energy that only you can provide. We have come here, Lord, to fellowship with you, to worship you. Help to free our minds of distractions, of thoughts of the week gone by or the week ahead. Let this hour, our hearts and minds, be solely focused on you. Let us lift our voices. Let us lift our minds and our thoughts to you. Let us give our energy to worshiping you. to lifting you up, to seeking a deeper relationship with you. Lord, hear our words, hear our thoughts, hear our prayers and our songs as we gather a people in your name to worship your majesty. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Have a seat here. We powered up? Okay, there we go. There we go. Oh, look! Chef Nate is bringing us a gift. Let's see what you have there, Chef Nate. Which one? Oh, my goodness. Mmm. Mmm. Oh, my. my. Excuse me, honey. What do you think Chef Nate has brought us? Can you smell? Oh, wait. Can you smell? Oh, you can't smell? Oh. Do you remember what we talked about last week in worship? Do you remember? Here's a hint. Bread, yes. Yes, we talked about bread last week. We sure did. And Chef Nate has brought us a couple of different... Oh, my goodness. Look at this. This is looks like a multi-grain type. Can you see the little different seeds and grains and stuff in there? Try some of that. Break some of that off. Go ahead. It won't hurt you. You can pass it around. You have to kind of grab a hold of it here and get it right here. Yeah, that's good stuff. Pass that on down. Grab a hunk of that and pass it on down. This one's sourdough. Now, it's not Miss Pete's sourdough, so we'll put a disclaimer. It's probably not that good. But but if it were Miss Pete's, it would be good. And grab, sample some of that. That's pretty good, too. Good sourdough. Mmm. Bread's good, isn't it? What's bread good for? While you're passing around, tell me what's bread's good for. Come on, help me out here, people. What's bread good for? It's good to eat, isn't it? It's good to eat. Let's say you were on a desert island. You need several things. What's one of the things? What are the things that you need if you're stranded on a desert island? Food. Good. Good answer. What else do you need? Water. What else do you need? Shelter. Y'all have learned well, Grasshopper. Very good. You have learned well. Food, water, and shelter. You need those things. Now, other things would be nice. There is one more basket. Nothing can pull anything over on you. Yeah, there is one more. And see, this other basket, I was going to say, we want other things, right? Like a nice canoe, if you're on a desert island, a nice canoe, a fishing rod and reel, something like that would be nice. But you don't have to have those. It's kind of like this last loaf of bread. You don't have to have it. But it sure is nice. It's one of my personal favorites. It's cinnamon raisin bread. Yes. It's not an essential for life, but it's very good. You can take some of that. That's very good also. Mmm. It's already sliced for you, so it's easier. You don't have to grab a hold of it. Can you get some of that? Pass it down that way. Peyton, here you go, buddy. Have a slab of that. You can take that with you. You want that? That's good stuff. Bread is good. That's all right. Take it to Mama. She'll like it. Mama will like that. All right, take a piece, keep passing these over here going, where's the cinnamon raisin bread? But some of the things we have to have in life, right? We have to have it. Now, last week, we read a passage in Scripture where Jesus told people that he was the bread of life. Now, we've already established that we have to have food in order to live. And we have to have bread in order to live. So if Jesus said he's the bread of life, that means Jesus gives us life, right? In the passage we're going to read this morning, in a few minutes, the last verse that I'll read to them, it says, Jesus said, this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. That's from John chapter 6. And in John chapter 14, you remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. Jesus said he's the life. So bread is good. We need that for physical life. But in order to have spiritual life, we got to have Jesus. So I want to challenge you. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you haven't prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Lord and to be your Savior, I want to challenge you to think about that. Talk with your parents about that. Talk with me or Jeff or Jason or anyone else, your Sunday school teachers. Because we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Because physical food is good. Raisin bread is good. But we have to have a relationship with Jesus to have spiritual life, okay? Let's pray together. We will in just a minute. Okay, let's pray, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you for their enthusiasm and their energy. And we thank you that you give us physical food. But we also thank you that you give us spiritual food. The kind that only Jesus can give. We pray that you'd be with us as we study more about you and grow closer to you. And as we help these children grow in their knowledge and understanding of your word and your son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. can have seconds as you go, okay? You don't like that one? Okay. Nobody wants seconds of the big loaves over here? Okay. This is the one time in church you'll get away with taking food back to your seat and eating it. Okay. All right. Front row, no, sorry. None for the front row down there. Okay. Y'all going back to your seat. Get a bite of that.
Will you join me as we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture? I'll be reading first from the second book of Samuel in chapter 18. And as you see printed in your order of service, in chapter 18 we'll look at verses 5 through 9 and then skip to 15 and then 31 through 33. 2 Samuel 18. Let us hear the Word of God. The king commanded Joab, Abishai and Ittai, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. The army marched into the field to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There the army of Israel was defeated by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest claimed more lives that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair, while the mule he was riding kept on going. And 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has delivered you today from all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if I had only died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And next, from the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, from chapter 4, verse 25 through the second verse of chapter 5. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is your world, and you have created it in such beauty and glory, and we look around us and see so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for all that you have created, Father. We're thankful for your majesty and glory that just abounds everywhere, Father. We're thankful for the life you have given us and for this fellowship of believers that's gathered here today. We're thankful to be here in your house, to worship as a group, and to learn more about your wonderful name. We pray, Lord, that you will take the gifts that have come forth today and that they will be used to spread your gospel message throughout all the world to all peoples. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like a rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
That's our goal, to let God's Word speak. And so as we come to His Word to read together now, I want to invite you to take a copy of Scripture as you have it there. If you don't, there's should be one there in the pew in front of you. And I invite you to take that and turn with me to John chapter 6. As we've already talked a little bit with the children, you remember last week we were talking about bread and what Jesus had declared. And we're going to pick up with that verse and then continue on this morning. Last week, as we were reading from John chapter 6, we concluded our reading with verse 35, when Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Then we're going to jump down to verse 41, because at this the Jews began to grumble about him, being Jesus, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say now, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You may remember hearing the words. You may remember actually speaking the words. The words go like this. Oh, what? Not again. You know I don't like... And then fill in the blank. You know I don't like broccoli. You know I don't like rhubarb. You know I don't like spinach. And my own personal dread. You know I don't like tuna casserole. Yikes. Oh, gee. Oh, amen to that. Thank you, Brother Kelly. Thank you, buddy. See, complaints about food are as old as school cafeterias, military sea rations, and the Bible. Yes, the Bible. In our gospel lesson today, the people complained about Jesus because he claimed to be food, bread from heaven. It's actually a very intriguing and theologically loaded word that John uses here for complaint. If I could read the Greek Old Testament, there is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. If I could read that, I am assured that the word that John uses here in the New Testament and the word that translates in Greek for murmur or complain, talking about the children of Israel, it's the same word. The murmuring, the complaining. See, if you'll recall, as we talked about last week in the wilderness, they were complaining about the food. Or probably the lack thereof. So the taste of freedom was not enough. Freedom did not satisfy. Deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh was not satisfying. They said, we want food. We want good food. And even if that means going back to slavery, we'll take that because we want good food. The passage we read was from Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. The people are saying, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. Translation, we'd rather die happy with our bellies full than wander around with all this freedom and be a little hungry. Like Elijah under the broom tree, they just would rather die. And so they complained. But before you cast too much an accusing finger in their direction, consider this question. Have you ever been hungry? I'm not talking about inconvenience because you missed lunch. I'm talking about have you ever really been hungry? I know that I have not. I thank God that I have not. You should be thankful that you have not. We haven't experienced that type of hunger. So sometimes complaints may be in order. Sometimes there's a good reason to mourn, to grieve, to complain about things that maybe could have been, or maybe the way you wished things had been. For example, Jason read a little bit earlier from 2 Samuel chapter 18, and David goes before God and he says, oh, my son Absalom, my son, would that I had died instead of you. He's pouring out his heart. A great number of psalms are filled with laments. The verses open with complaints to God of, why God? Why did you allow this to happen? Or God, how long is this going to continue? I can't bear it anymore. The faith that we've inherited from Judaism is a faith that lays its soul open before our Creator openly and honestly. It's one of life and emotion as we go to God and we fill His ears with our complaints. Our God is big enough to handle that. But in practically every case, the laments of the Psalms conclude with an affirmation of trust in God. After crying out to God in protest or bewilderment or wondering, the psalmist avers that hope that remains in God. Lament, in that way, becomes an act of faith, precisely because it holds on to God, remains, that hope remains in God. In that sense, the complaints raised that we've read about in the Gospel of John do not measure up. The complaints against Jesus do not rise to the standard of what we would consider a lament from Psalms. Perhaps, and I think because, the murmuring against Jesus does not lead to, but rather there's no sense of seeking God in the complaint, but rather a turning loose. The lamenting or the complaint that we read about in John is one that distances itself from God. It's a disengagement from God, not one that seeks to understand God. The people did not complain because they wanted to draw closer to Jesus. They complained against Jesus' claim because they knew who he was. They defined Jesus solely by the fact of who his family was. And so therefore they put limits on who he could be because they know where he came from. Look back in verse 42. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say now, 'I came down from heaven'?" Misunderstanding is a common dynamic in the Gospel of John. They just didn't get it. And perhaps what most separates their complaint about Jesus from the positive expression of a lament before God may be seen in Jesus' first words to them. Look in verse 43. He said, "Don't complain. Quit grumbling amongst yourselves. Stop." See, complaint is one thing when it's addressed to the individual or the group that are grievous. At least then, you have an opportunity. You can have dialogue. You can get some feedback. You can get a response. You can understand maybe the context. But the impression that's left here by Jesus is that their complaining had been taking place without bothering to address the one they were complaining about, i.e., Jesus. "You're complaining amongst yourselves about me. Somebody have the courage to come, let's talk." See, if we could follow Jesus' example, if we could follow Jesus' instruction, gossip would die a natural death. When people come to us complaining about another person, oh, that we would have the spiritual maturity to turn a deaf ear to them, refuse to hear them, and for God's sake, literally for God's sake, do not repeat the poison. Instead, send them to the person that they've got a problem with. Send them there. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 4 when Jason was reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." That is the scriptural model. Use words to lift up. That's the scriptural model. Remember that next time the phone rings, okay? By the same token, when a complaint is not shared with the person that you feel like you have a legitimate complaint with, how can change come? If you really feel like you have something you want to talk with them about, you need to go visit with them. Talk with them. Because when we clutch resentment and we hold that in our hearts, if we don't give it a sounding, how will we know if it's valid? How will we know if change, good change, may need to take place? Our opinions of those we resent will just fester. And it stays in a closed cycle. And it's not helpful to either those that you have a problem with or to your own health. I don't believe, quite frankly, I don't believe it's coincidental that at the end of this chapter 6, people complaining among themselves leads to its logical conclusion. And that conclusion is this: people began to leave. To the point in verse 61, the complaining has spread. Imagine that. The complaining has spread, and it's not just Jesus' opponents now, it's his disciples that who begin to pull away, begin to separate themselves from Jesus. See, complaints are like that. When expressed inappropriately, they're contagious and they're deadly to relationships. They can destroy the fellowship of the body of Christ. I think there are many experiences that we have that can evoke complaints. And I know sometimes the complaint is justified. It is justified. In the face of injustice that has been suffered, in the face of pain, whether that's you personally or someone that you care deeply about, I think it's appropriate. It's appropriate. Complaint or interchange or an exchange of ideas or whatever you want to call it may be necessary. It's exactly what's needed. But a lament to God is the most faithful thing that we can do in those circumstances. We cry out to God who understands us and then trust His leadership to deal with those we feel like maybe have hurt us. The key is to hold on to the one, being God, to whom we cry. Hold on to Him. To keep together our expression of lament at the same time with trust in God. Complete trust in Him. Jesus concludes his words to the complainers here in these verses. He does not notice. He does not slam the door on them. He doesn't slam the door, but He opens an invitation. He says to them in verse 61, "I'm the living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you'll eat this bread, you'll live forever." How and why would He offer that to us? How and why would Jesus offer that to those who are hurting Him, who are seeking to hurt Him? Jesus speaks out. He speaks out of a tradition that they would be familiar with, a tradition of wilderness murmuring and wilderness feeding. Remember last week, we talked about manna falling from heaven. We talked about the fact that manna does not just fall on those who are faithful. Manna does not just fall on those who maybe are hurting but keep it inside. Manna doesn't just fall on those who whine and complain. Manna falls for everyone, for every single person. It's given to all, including the murmurers. That is the nature of God's grace. God seeks our good. And that's that affirmation and that grace. It allows us to hold it together while we're crying out in lament. And it allows us to trust completely in God, who's going to hear us and who will receive us. And He will feed us with a grace that will not fail. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word, how it's convicting, how it instructs us, how it helps us to understand that our relationship with You directly affects our relationship with other people. Father, we pray for the courage to come to You when we're hurting, when we've been disappointed by another aspect of creation, imperfect as it is. Father, we pray that we would trust You enough to pour out our heart and our soul to You, and that we would trust you enough to heal our wounds and to set us on our way to make things right with our fellow man. Father, we know people watch us because we may be the only Christian that someone knows. Help us to respond as Christ would, even in our imperfection. Help us to respond in a way that would please you and that would glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. The natural reaction when you hear a sermon like this is, I wonder what happened this week to Raymond. That's not it. See, the beauty of it is we can look at God's Word. We can look at His Word and we can see the stories from Scripture. We can receive teaching from God's Word. And a lot of times God gives us those words at a time when things are going well. Because we can deal with them maybe a little easier then. We can understand that that's what Jesus desires from us, to be more like Him and to respond in the way that He responded. I never preached to anyone, so don't think that. I would not waste the time or dishonor this pulpit by speaking to an individual. I'll never do that. God's Word speaks for itself. If you felt a conviction in your heart, it's not from me. It's from the Holy Spirit. And if you need to go to Him in prayer and say, God, you know, I've messed up things in the past. I've done things wrong. With your help, I'm going to do better. With your guidance, I'm going to deal with conflict in a way that's more healthy, in a way that would build up and that would encourage people. It's easier to deal with it now than in the heat of a dispute or in the heat of a conflict. So settle that with God this morning. You may be sitting there saying, amen, brother. All right. If that's the way you deal with it, great. Fantastic. You can be an encouragement to others maybe who are not quite as strong in their faith or who have a problem and they feel like, you know, they need a little help and support. That's what we're here for, is the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Perhaps you'd like to respond. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're not a Christian, as I shared with the children. You don't have that personal faith with Christ yet. I want to give you a chance to do that. I would not want us to leave here without giving you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I'll be glad to share with you how you can do that. Perhaps you would like to, again, wherever you are, if you want to kind of settle things with God and pour out some things with God, and in this course of this week, clear things up with other people, that's great. Settle that with God during the time of response. Maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, I'd like to be a part of this congregation. They deal with things in a healthy and constructive way, and I want to be a part of that. We invite you to come, and I'll be glad to tell you how we receive members. And whatever your decision is, I challenge you to make that and take it very seriously as the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you sing out your praises to God. Let's stand and sing. want to invite you back tonight for our mountain outreach, expression of delight and stories that will be told and pictures that will be shown. We want to invite you to be a part of that. Bring a snack or a picnic supper. Join with us at 6:15. And the pictures will be rolling as you eat, beginning about 6:15. So come and be a part of that. See the pictures that will be shown. And then we'll begin with the life service at 7 o'clock. And there'll be a little singing. And then we'll go into a time of testimony and sharing about the experiences of Mountain Outreach. So I invite you to be a part of that. I want to invite you also back Wednesday night. There'll be a time that, again, as Jason's described, that we'll be eating together, we'll be sharing a meal together, and we'll be learning more about some extraordinary women that God has placed in the good news, in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, how He worked through people. So invite you back for that. Now, if you would please hear a benediction from Scripture. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.